Thank you, Charlie, very much. Good morning. Good to see you all. So, Charlie, when he said that there were two sleeps left till Christmas, I think he'd forgotten about all those of us who will inevitably find our eyelids drooping this afternoon. You know, there might be slightly more than two sleeps for some of us who like the odd nap. Power naps, I'm sure. So, we've all been out busy buying our Christmas presents. It's tricky getting the right gift, isn't it? If we can have the... There we go. It's tricky getting the right gift. As these guys might have found, thankfully they got it right in the end. And some people are tricky when it comes to giving gifts. Don't know who you know who this is. This is, does anybody know who that is? Donald Trump Jr. That's Donald Trump Jr. He told us this week, might have been last week, told us sometime this month, that his father is a notorious, that's Donald Trump, his father is a notorious re-gifter. You know what a re-gifter is? A re-gifter is someone who recycles presents they've received one year and gives them back the next. Donald Trump Jr. knows this because he received from his dad one year some gift. He didn't specify what it was, but it was monogrammed. You know what I mean by monogrammed? It had the person's initials on. So DJ. And as Junior pointed out to his dad, actually Junior had given that very same monogram gift to his dad the year before. And it was given back to him. A re-gifter. Well, this is always a safe option for me, just in case there is anyone out there who's, you know, wondering about what they should give me this Christmas. This is always a pretty safe option. Hands up if you have received... last Christmas, if you received any form of gift token, gift card, gift voucher of any nature at all, hands up if you did. Okay, not so many. Maybe you're just shy. Hands up. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up if you have still got money unspent on that token. Yeah. So they reckon of the money spent on gift cards for 2017 in the UK, they reckon that there is still, wait for it, £300 million unspent. Unspent. Actually, that's only 5% of the total that goes on gift cards. £300 million just out there. In our wallets, under the desks, hiding behind whatever models you have in your house. That's astounding, isn't it? No wonder shops love selling gift cards. There's a lot of free money in it for them, isn't there? But imagine a present which was itself an amazing gift, but also came with a gift voucher, a token of some sort that meant you could get all kinds of other things as well as that present. Well, the verse I'm exploring this morning is about exactly that. It's about an amazing gift that comes with a remarkable present. It's found in Romans chapter 8, this verse, and it says this. He's talking about God. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Here's a little challenge for you. Over the Christmas period, why not memorize that verse? Why not commit it to memory? Then you've got it up there. You can take it with you as you go through your day. You can meditate on it. You can think about it. You can pray about it. It is an amazing verse, and I'm going to try and unpack just a little bit of it. Think about just a little bit of it today, this morning. First of all, let's think about the cost of this gift, this amazing gift. God did not spare his own son. God did not spare his own son. What a cost that is. He gave him up for us all. He's talking about, of course, when Jesus was born, that was the giving of the gift, wasn't it? When God himself, as we've sung, Emmanuel, God became a human being, God with us. God came down as a human being, God made man. But you know, it's talking about more than just that initial gift at Christmas time. It's talking about when Jesus went to the cross too. When he went, he was not only born on this earth, he died on this earth, nailed to a cross. That's the cost of God's gift. That he gave his own son to die, the death that's the great sacrifice for our sin, to make peace between us and God, to make us friends with God again. That's the cost to God of this gift. What a cost! God's own son. His one and only son. His beloved son, as he calls him. You remember when Jesus is baptized? This is my son whom I love, in whom I take great delight. This is the son he gave up for us. Can you imagine that? I cannot imagine that. I cannot imagine. It seems almost just horrendous even to try. I cannot imagine a circumstance in which I would be prepared to give up one of my children. That's what God did for us. He gave up his son for us. First as a baby born into the squalor of a stable, then seeing him grow up and go to death on a cross. Can you imagine that? Maybe you think, well, if he's God, he's God. It's easy. It was easy for him. He's God. Just think about this. So God and his son, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, of course, enjoyed wonderful, unbroken family life together, fellowship, friendship, delighting in each other from before time began. And God's love for his son, because God is perfect, God's love for his son is perfect. Now, if I were to ask you how much you loved your children, those of you who are parents, how much do you love your children? You wouldn't be able to answer. It's just immeasurable, isn't it? Yes, but your love for your children, actually, I hate to tell you this, your love for your children is not perfect. It's not perfect. It's not complete. It's not full. God's love for his son is perfect. It's complete. It's full. And he gave him up for us all. Do you think that would have been easy? Well, of course, you say God knew what was going to happen. He knew he'd get his son back eventually. Well, yes, God did know what has happened. That was part of his plan. I think that made it doable. That might have make it doable for him to do this. But I don't think it made it easier for him to do this. He gave up his own son. That is the cost that we're talking about. What a cost. What about the value of this gift? Well, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the eternal Son of God, no less. What infinite value is that in all his perfection and glory? And look too for what this gift achieves for us. Because God gave Jesus, we can have forgiveness of sins. What a value is that? You can't put a value on that, can you? We can have new eternal life. We can know the joy of being adopted into God's family, to become his children. And all this comes through the gift of his son. What value? There's a verse that Paul says elsewhere, 1 Corinthians, he says this: it's because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our being in a right relationship with God, our holiness, being set apart by God, our redemption, being redeemed, being bought back and being fully saved in the future when Jesus returns. All of that in Jesus. That is the value of this gift. And so as we see the cost and the value of this gift, we also see the promise of this gift. Did you see the promise in this verse? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He will give us all things. All things. That's the promise. That is astounding. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that God will automatically give me everything I think I want, everything I think I need, okay? Sorry, guys. The Aston Martin is probably out of bounds for another year. You know, we can think of all kinds of things we think we might like, and we might even think we need. But the all things is what God knows we need. That's what he's talking about. And that's what he promises us. All things he knows I need, he will give me. How do I know it? Because he's already given me his son. It's an argument from the greater to the lesser. He's already given me this huge, huge, huge gift. If I need something that's tiny in comparison, do you think he'll balk at giving me that? If somebody really rich has given you £1 billion, do you think that if you really, really needed a tenner, they would balk at giving you that as well? Well, they wouldn't, would you? Would they? Because he's given us so much, he will give us all that we need. He won't resent it, because he's given us so much. We know his heart. We know his heart for us. He wants what is best for us, because he's given the best to us. We know that. So we shouldn't feel resentful when we feel that he's not given us what we want. All things, that certainly covers the material things, the solid, concrete things around us, our food, our clothing, shelter, anything we truly need, he will give us if we're trusting and following him. That's the promise. For most of us, actually, we'd say he's given us far more than we truly need. He's given us far more than we truly need, hasn't he? Not just what we need, but over and above. Do you know, we've seen this just in our household recently as a family. Don't want to say too much about this because, you know, paid by the church makes it a bit difficult to talk about these sorts of things and all the rest of it. And I would hate for you to think that I'm in any way complaining or whatever. But we have been hit as a family by a series of unexpected bills. You know those times? They come, don't they? A series of unexpected bills, one after the other. And to be honest, it was an ouch moment. Each one of those was an ouch. And we weren't sure what was going to happen. Well, experience tells us what's going to happen. We should have known that the Lord would provide. Because he did. In wonderful ways, through wonderful generosity of other people, his people, including an anonymous gift that may have been given by someone here. I don't know. If so, thank you so much. But the Lord has provided for these gifts. In fact, we've had a gift and we wondered why, and now we found our roof was leaking this week, so now we know he provides. Sometimes he provides ahead of time. It's amazing, and that's been our experience throughout our lives. He has given to us all that we need. We've seen this as a church just this year, haven't we? I don't think the treasurer's here this morning, is. But we've seen this year. We always budget in faith here. We always believe it's right just to, you know, give a faith gap between the budget and what we think is going to come in. That seems to work. And, at one point we were staring in the face in the order, quite a big deficit it looked like by the end of the year. Well, guess what? A huge gift came in and the Lord provided that money. And then again, because there were one or two extra expenditures, things that had to be done in the church, again, a deficit appeared. Guess what? Another large gift came in to cover that. That's happened twice within the last few weeks here at Kennet Valley, in your church. He provides. He provides all things for us. Now, of course, we know that's difficult. As I say it, I know it's difficult because there are millions, billions of people in the world who do not seem right now to have their basic needs. That's complicated, that's difficult. Why is that? It's certainly not God's fault, is it? because of the distribution system. It's because we hoard and we don't give. But I do believe this, if people are truly trusting in the Lord, he gives us what we need. What we need may vary in different situations. He gives us what we need. He provides. He always does provide. Seek first his kingdom. This is a promise. It's not just a promise that stands alone. It comes with this condition. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. If your focus is on his kingdom, these things will follow. If your focus is on running after those things first, there's not that guarantee. If your focus is on his kingdom, there's that guarantee. Which is amazing. But he provides not just the material things, he provides the spiritual things as well. He provides us with everything we need. C.H. Spurgeon, the prince of preachers as he's known, Victorian preacher in this country, said this in a sermon on this verse, which I'm kind of, you know, stealing from today. Possessing Christ, we have everything. Having Christ, possessing Christ, we have everything. All the blessings of this life and the life that is to come lie hidden in Christ, and the kernel is in, as the kernel is within the shell of a nut. You know that little, the bit in the nut that you actually want to eat? That's inside the shell of the nut. That grows, it's a seed, isn't it? And you plant it and it would grow and into all the other things that we need. That's the idea. The kernel grows into all the other things that we need. It doesn't come all at once. It grows in our lives, slowly but surely. And Spurgeon goes on to say, give a man Christ, he has everything a believer could desire. The gift of Christ is God's solemn pledge that he will keep back from you nothing you really need. Isn't that wonderful? He'll keep back from you nothing. How do we know? Because he's given us Jesus. He's given us Jesus. The gift of his son comes with that wonderful promise. You know, even the things we think we give back to God, you know, our worship, our service to God, the ministries that we do, the ways we serve in the church or elsewhere, everything we do, sometimes we think, oh, God's given me so much that I have to give back to him. It doesn't work like that, you know. Those very things that you're giving back to him, where did they come from? They came from him. In other words, we're just re-gifting. We're re-gifters when we do that. And that's a glorious place to be, because it means he gets all the glory. It's not down to us, it's down to him, and we get all the blessing. Everything we do for him has started with his Holy Spirit at work in us. It's all come from Christ, which is an amazing thing. So here's a question for you. How rich are you? How rich are you this morning? It's an interesting question to ask, isn't it? You know, very few people think of themselves as rich. Even very, very, very rich people don't think of themselves as rich often. Have you noticed that? One of the Rockefellers are a very rich banking family in the States. One of the Rockefellers was asked, how much money would he need to be happy? You know his answer? Just a little bit more. He's a billionaire. Just a little bit more. He didn't think of himself as rich. But if you're believing in Christ this morning, friend, you are so rich. You have it all. You are very, very rich indeed. Spurgeon again, child of God, cast aside all thought of your being poor and rejoice in your boundless riches in Christ. Christ Jesus. Of course, what we do, and we're all guilty of this, and I'm certainly guilty of this, we concentrate on the few things that we realize we don't have, or we would like that we don't have, and we get dissatisfied and disconsolate and grumpy and sullen, and we forget the vast wealth that we have in Christ, if we're believing in Christ. Rejoice, he says. Rejoice in your boundless riches in Christ. That's the first thing. Two ways of applying this, of taking this in our lives. First of all, rejoice. We've got to rejoice over this. We've got to give thanks and rejoice for Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. Where was Jesus born? One of the children like to tell me, where was Jesus born? Yes, Finn. Bethlehem. Do you know what Bethlehem means? It means the house of bread. Do you remember what Jesus said in John's Gospel? I am the bread of life. Bread is what we need, isn't it? It's like, probably not so much for us, but it's the basic food stuff, the stuff of life, the staple diet. I am the bread of life, said Jesus. He gives us everything we need. All we need for sustenance is in him. So we rejoice. But the second thing we do, if you're feeling the lack of something, because we do, don't we, from time to time, we feel the lack of something, well, what do we do about that? We ask. We rejoice and we ask. That's what he calls us. That's what we're called to do. Because he's given you his son. He's given you his son. What else will he not give you? He's not going to say, I've given you enough already. He'll give you whatever he thinks you need. What else will he not give you if you really need it? A particular need to cover a bill, maybe? Ask him. Ask him for it. A spiritual thing. Lord, make me more patient with this person. Lord, help me grow more like Jesus. Lord, help me. Help me love that person. Lord, help me to forgive this person that's hurt me. If you're feeling that need, ask him. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Lord, help me to endure my pain, to face the uncertain future. Ask him. He's given us a wonderful promise, but you know what? It is no good just reading it. It is no good just reading it. It's no good just memorizing it, even though it'd be a great thing to do. You know, we have to cash it in. We have to cash it in. How much did I say of unspent money? Do you remember all that time ago? 300 million. 300 million of unspent, unclaimed cash. How much more in Christ that we have not yet claimed? How much more in Christ that we've not taken hold of? Grumbling is ridiculous. If you grumble about something you don't have, that is ridiculous if you haven't yet asked God about that. It's as ridiculous as not spending money on your gift card. Far worse. But we do it, don't we? We do that all the time. It's a promise, you see, but he wants us to ask. He wants us to ask because when we ask, we express our complete and utter dependence on him. And that gives him glory. And it also shows we're not just taking his gifts for granted. We value them. And also, if we pray about what we think we need, sometimes we're wrong about that. But if we're praying about it, then the Holy Spirit can prompt us and speak to us and to get us back on track to pray for the things we really need as we draw near to God. If we don't draw near to God, that will never happen. We ask. You know the story of the two boys staying in their grandma's home just before Christmas, don't you? And they're staying in the same room. One of the boys knelt down to say his prayers before bed. And he said in a really, really loud voice, he said, Lord, please give me an Xbox for Christmas. Please give me an iPhone. And please give me a new scooter. His brother said to him, why are you shouting? God's not deaf. He said, no, but Grandma is. God's not deaf, but he wants us to ask. He wants us to ask. And we cannot bemoan the lack of anything if we haven't yet asked God for it. And yet I think we often do. Having Christ, we have everything. Everything. That is an amazing thought. Does that thrill you? I really hope it thrills you. Having Christ, you have everything. If you don't yet have Christ, if you've not taken hold of him, if you've not turned to him and turned away and admitted that you're a sinner needing saving, that he's died for you, the Son of God came and died for you, that he's raised to life and that you're going to follow him from now on, if you've not yet done that, grab hold of him this morning and pray for him to come and forgive you and give you new life. And then having Christ, you will have everything. That is an amazing thing. The resources of the entire universe are his, and he is God with us. No wonder the songwriter wrote, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold." It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Why settle for silver and gold? That's just peanuts. I'd rather have Jesus, wouldn't you? It's nice to have a response. Thank you. Thank you so much. Possessing Christ, we have everything. Let's pray. You know, there's an old hymn we used to sing a lot when in the chapel I grew up in, but kind of forgotten it. And then Bernard prayed it one morning. I remember he quoted it in his prayer. This is the song. Blessed be God our God, who gave for us his well-beloved Son, the gift of gifts, all other gifts in one. Blessed be God our God. What will he not bestow, who freely gave this mighty gift unbought, unmerited, unheeded, and unsought? What will he not bestow? He spared not his Son. 'Tis this that silences each rising fear. 'Tis this that bids the hard thoughts disappear. He spared not his Son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for Jesus. And thank you that having him, we have everything. Lord, please may we rejoice in this. May we give you the glory. And help us to ask for the things that we don't have, so that you will give us what we truly need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing, before Charlie comes back to us, "Look to the Skies." There's a celebration.